God is good
all the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to welcome in a special way one of our church family members, Melody Cooper, who's here today. It's April and it's on. We are so blessed as a church family to have a conviction of our mission.
Yes.
A conviction of our mission. You know, and we listen to the Lord help us to profess our faith. So repeat after me, Jesus.
Jesus.
You are the Messiah.
The Messiah.
The Son of God.
The Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So just like Peter, we know our Lord. We're not confused like the world of who he is and what he came to accomplish.
Amen.
We know the name of our Lord and we know his mission. Just like Peter, we profess our faith with conviction. We know the mission. You know, I remember when we had a couple summers ago, we had a revival. And remember Father Maurice Nutt, Father Mo, as he went by. Father Mo, everybody remember Father Mo? Kind of, sort of. Well, one night after our Father Mo was preaching, we went out to the street on 24th Street, and his friend who was a minister, his car was gone. And Doug remembers this. He remembers that night he was there. Sister Lynn was right there as well. And there was no debris on the floor. There was no broken glass. So we're thinking, you know, how did his car get stolen? So I looked on the camera, and it showed that the vehicle was actually still running. So it was a rental car. He was coming from another state, and he had a fob. And the fob looked a little broken, and it was on. And he left the car running. So someone got in the vehicle and they left and they stole his car. I don't know if they ever got the car back. It was a horrible situation that this happened. But it makes me think about, like, when we talk about, when we think about keys, you know, we all have like maybe a lot of keys or a couple of keys, but each key is different. You know, you have now the keys for the cars, they have a smart key. And you don't have to put it inside the ignition. You just have it on your person, and as long as you're in the vehicle, the car will work, right? The engine will start, everything will work. But if you don't have it, then you know, you're not able to use it. As a way to make sure that your car is not stolen, right? Because there's so many thieves that can make and duplicate keys. And so as a safety measure. You know, but who's the person that you trust with the keys to your car?
Wife.
You might have a brand new car. You're like, you know what, I'm not going to let my teenager or my young adult son get that car and drive it because you don't know how they're going to run that car. They might get in an accident or not. You don't want to trust that key, the car key, just to anyone. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You got to have a lot of trust and conviction that they're going to not damage your vehicle. So you're not going to just give that car key to anyone, but you're not only going to give your car key to anyone, you're not going to give your house key to just anyone, right? If it's a stranger or someone you associate with, you're not going to just give them the keys to your house. It would have to be someone that you trust.
Amen.
Someone that you have a relationship with and a purpose for them having that key, right? So you wouldn't just give your car key, your house key, just to anyone, because you have to have that trust in that person, right? You have that conviction that they're not going to misuse your trust. And I remember when I was growing up and my parents went to Ethiopia, and my cousin said, you know, how about we have a house party? You know, my parents are gone. And my brothers and I said, no, we're not going to have a house party because that's just going to be a bad idea. And then when my cousins, their parents left, we said, how about you have a house party? And they said no as well. So I bring up this idea about keys and trust is that Jesus trusted Peter. with the keys to the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
So he gave him the keys. And he said, anything that you loose on earth, unloose on earth is unloosed in heaven. Anything that you bound on earth is bound in heaven. So we see that Jesus is giving this authority. Right? You give someone your keys, you're giving them authority over something else that you value. So Jesus values, right, the kingdom of heaven. And he has this authority. Jesus has the authority. You can't give what you don't have.
That's
so
right.
Jesus
Amen.
Has the authority,
Amen.
But he's transitioning and giving, extending it to Peter. So Peter is the first, what we call pope, right? We say he's the first pope. And he has this authority. But the authority he has is not to mistrust this authority for his own advantage, right? Not to be self-seeking, but God-seeking. It's order to serve. Jesus said he came to serve, not to be served. Amen?
That's right. Amen.
Jesus, who works miracles all the time, he's always working miracles of mercy, but he's not looking for himself, right? When Jesus was in the desert, did he say, hey, I'm going to change this stone into bread to serve himself? He was hungry. He was thirsty. But he used his authority over nature, over creation, not to serve himself, but to serve the people of God. So Jesus has all the authority, and yet he uses it for a purpose of service. So that's how our Lord revealed to Peter. Peter has to realize, like, you have this authority, right, over the church, but you have the authority in order to serve. And he did just that. Even though Peter was called a rock. You know, when you look at a skyscraper has to have a huge foundation for that to not tip over. You know, our house, you know, the houses that we have a small foundation, and the house is not that high. So the foundation doesn't have to be that strong. But the higher the building is, the stronger that foundation has to be for it to work.
That's right.
So the foundation has to be very, very strong. And you notice when they have skyscrapers, they have the foundation in such a way that even if it's windy, like it can move slightly and, you know, bend, but it still remains in place. So the architect has to be perfect. And Jesus says, okay, you profess this faith in me. And this is the faith that all disciples are called to profess, that he is Messiah and the Son of God. But he says that you are the rock. So he is the prince of the apostles. And he gives them this authority, right? He has this authority over the church. For what? To be one. To have that oneness. One God, one shepherd, one church, right? One church. So Jesus gives Peter, the first pope, this authority in order to serve the people of God. He doesn't want him to steal this authority and just go away, right? Like the guy who stole the vehicle. Like, he doesn't want him to just take the keys and run with his own vision or idea, but he wants him to use the keys to serve the vision that the Holy Spirit inspires. Yeah. He said, look, flesh and blood has not revealed this. He said, look, Peter, you're not that, it's not actually a compliment to have papal infallibility. That means whenever the Pope preaches and teaches as authority, we all have to believe it. And he cannot say anything that's going to take away our salvation. It's called papal infallibility. So Jesus gave him that promise. It's not to say that a pope cannot be a sinner like us. Yes, popes can become sinners and are sinners like us. They can have weaknesses. Even Peter denied our Lord 3 times, right? So we know that having the keys, having authority, doesn't mean you're the Immaculate Conception, right? We're not saying that he's the Immaculate Conception like Our Lady. We're saying that he has this keys and authority because you have to have order. You have to have unity by having order. So one pope has, through the Holy Spirit, is able to preach and teach in a way that serves us to have conviction in our faith, right? It's to convict us in our faith. Peter was supposed to encourage all the apostles Stay the course. Remember, Jesus says to Peter, encourage the others. Stay the course. Have that conviction. And he did. He laid down his life for Christ. He became a martyr. So in the beginning, he was afraid. He denied. He ran away, right? But in the end, he turned around from his sin. He wept, and he came back to Christ. So Peter was not a rock in the beginning, but you best believe God made him the rock in the end. Amen?
Amen.
So we have Pope Francis as our Pope. And the way we show devotion to Jesus, right, not only in the Holy Eucharist, not only in our Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, not only in the Word of God, but also in the Pope. Pope Francis is our Holy Father, and we have to pray for him. We pray for God to protect him, to bless him, and to guide him to live a holy life. And we pray for his intentions. So Pope Francis, I want to read what he preaches to us, to all of us, right? He preaches the Word of God to us, the Vicar of Christ. He says, you know, the first point recalls that the center of mission is the person of Jesus himself. When Jesus sends the apostles on mission, they're not going forth to spread their own message or to demonstrate their own abilities. Rather, like rays emanating from a center, the disciples proclaim the message of Jesus and to bring his presence and his work into the world. They are called to speak and act as his messengers. This gospel passage, you know, he talks about to bear witness to the gospel of Jesus in every aspect of our life. Yes. For us to, he added, the mission is only authentic when it is focused on Jesus. This is the mission of the church, inseparable, united to the Lord. No Christian proclaims the gospel on their own initiative, but only when it's sent by the church, which has received her mandate from Christ himself. And he says the second characteristic of a missionary disciple is the mission has a face, an aspect that is present to the world. This face consists in poverty of means. The disciples were ordered to take nothing for their journey but a walking stick. So Pope Francis said, this means that Jesus wants his disciples to be free, depending only on the love of him who sends them, strengthened only by his word, which they proclaim. Missionary disciples are not all-powerful managers or replaceable functionaries or divas or tours. So he says that, you know, we all have a mission. Every one of us is commissioned, just like Peter was commissioned. After we profess our conviction of faith, then we are having this conviction, we have this authority. Remember, Jesus said, in Jesus' name we can cast out demons, right? To have authority over demons, to give a blessing upon ourselves. You know, I have the holy water on the baptismal font. So, you know, one of the ways we show authority, we have the keys, is to take holy water and to bless ourselves with holy water. To, you know, ask the Lord to bless our homes, you know, to sprinkle holy water in our homes, in your car. That's another great way. And also, Deacon or I can also bless your house or your car. So having authority over self, allowing the kingdom of heaven to reign within us, that's the authority that glorifies the Father. Yes, that's the authority that reveals to us the Spirit of God is living in us. So there's so many ways that we bear witness to Jesus. It's with our words and with our actions. Yes. And I want to just, you know, we hear so much of, you know, bearing witness to Christ. And I just wanted to share, you know, a poem about professing faith. You know, one of the ways we can profess our faith is by writing reflection, you know, that we hear and we read in the bulletin. But also just want to share this poem and talk about, you know, we as a church family, you know, we hear our choir sing and then we sing together. We sing the melody of faith, right? We sing together as a church family, and together we rejoice. Together, and we're gonna hear soon, we give ourselves away, right? That giving ourselves away shows us that conviction in our mission as disciples. So we sing, you sing, I sing, blessed be God forever. Why? Our joyful spirit has wings to fly over the stormy weather, feeling blessed by the best eternal word made flesh. Blessed be God forever. Our Heavenly Father's love letter. In order to read this mystery, you need eyes of faith, a light in the darkness of sin. No, Lord, we can't wait. You alone are our only King. Who will save us? Our Heavenly Father's blessing made us a centuries of preparation to answer our questions with one confession of divine revelation, Jesus, and so it begins. Alpha and Omega, He who is our new beginning and end, He who was and is Lord of heaven and earth, who can contend? Therefore, heaven is born and the earth bound in the womb of our Blessed Mother. Jesus, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, can help us to continue to grow in our journey of faith as we walk with eyes of faith and we continue as missionary disciples, disciples who are on fire with the Spirit who breathes within us, the profession of faith, Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.